Blog Talk Radio.
Right. It's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna shout just a little over here, and I'm gonna shout just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna sing just a little right here. And I'm gonna sing just a little right there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. You know, it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know, it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. And I'm gonna pray just a little over here. And I'm gonna pray just a little over there. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. You know it's in my veins, Lord, it's in my veins. While the blood is running warm in my veins, oh Lord, it's in my veins. Amen. I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. It's Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we're trying to get ourselves back on track for 6 o'clock on a regular. So we're just so glad to have those of you that are coming on at this point in time. It's Sunday evening. It's worship time. Golgotha Church of Christ online. We worship online on Facebook Live, and we're also on Blog Talk Radio. So if you'd like to call in at this point in time, maybe you don't have the opportunity to view or your reception is not doing well, you can call in at this number, 516-666-9969. Again, that is 516-666-9969. Call in at that number and we'll be able to talk at the completion of the message. We're going to sing a few more songs. Those of you that are coming on, if you could share the video, we'll definitely appreciate it. And we're going to give God some praise that is worthy, that is he is more than worthy, but that is our privilege to be able to offer up our praise to him. What a fellowship. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Sing along with me if you know. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And what a blessedness. What a peace in mind, leaning on the everlasting arms, where we are leaning on Jesus. we are safe and secure from all harm. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning. Excuse me. On the everlasting arms and rope, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms and rope. How bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all harm. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord, so leaning on the everlasting arms. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarm. Where we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. That oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all harm. Oh, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. I see you, Brother Daniel. Hope you and Jody are doing well. I love you too, my brother. Hope everything is well in Iowa at this point in time. All right. Again, for those of you that may be wanting to call in, you can call in at 516-666-9969. That's a new Blog Talk number for those of you who don't have it from before. The number is 516-666-9969. I'm going to type it in here for those who would like to call in, and then we can listen to you at that time. Let's see what I do here. There we go. 516-666-9969. Call. The completion of the message, you can call that number now and have you on mute at the completion of the message. We will open up the line and listen to you, what you may have to say in regards to the lesson today, regardless of maybe how this ministry is working and helping you in your life. And then maybe you may have some prayer requests or some things of that nature. I did just see that Brother Chauncey Lyles lost his brother today. And so we're going to pray for the Lyles family. Dear brother, love him so very much, and ask you just to continue to keep him and them and that family in prayer. All right. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing, that my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Yes, God is real, so real in my soul. For my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is just like pure gold. For my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folk may doubt, and some folk may scorn. All can go on and leave me alone, leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take that part. For God has been real, for I can feel Him in my heart. Yes, God is real. He really is today. He's so real in my soul. For my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is just like pure gold. For my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus washed your sins away, your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. Yes, God is real, so real in my soul. For my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is just like gold. For my God is real, for I can feel through Him in my soul. Yes, I see you, Sister Redman. He is so real, amen, he is so real. Throat is a little parched. I get myself hydrated a little bit better. One more song. And then we will go to get into our invocation. If you have any prayer requests, you can type them in at this time. Blessed are you too, sis. Appreciate you so very much. Oh, I just have it right here, so maybe that's why you're here. I shall wear a crown. You looking for your reward? A mansion robe and crown? Sing with me. Watch ye therefore, you know not the day when the Lord shall call your soul away. You labor, striving for the right. Well, you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown when the trumpet sounds.
When the trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now be not like the foolish virgins did, for he's coming, and you know not when. Have your lamps on, trimmed and burning bright, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now if at last I hold out to the end, Jesus is an everlasting friend. If I stay with in the church he found, then I shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Now, if you fight that good old fight of faith, and with patience run the race, when you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Again, if you fight that good old fight of faith, and with patience run the race, when you lay your gospel armor down, then you shall wear a golden crown. Oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When that trumpet sounds, when that trumpet sounds, oh, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a golden crown. Amen. Diane Hughes, how are you, Diane? Hope everything's well with you. Glad to have you with us this evening. Those of you that are coming on, if you could share the video, we'd definitely appreciate it. And again, as I typed in earlier, you'll see the number on there. If you'd like to call in for a prayer request or a comment, you can do so at 516-666-9969. 516-666-9969. I typed it in the comments there. That's a new number for us. For our Blog Talk Radio line, we are advertising also on in Cyprus, the United Kingdom. We're in Norway, as well as the continent of the United States and Canada. So those times, we are back to those areas as of today, according to what they sent me, and we're just so thankful for that. Gracious to my wife as well, who sees about that portion of our ministry, that we were able to expand, and we're just so thankful to her and her mindfulness of making sure we can reach the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, let us have prayer requests at this time. Let's have prayer at this time. Come right this, Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, we come to you at this time, thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for who you are. for you are a sovereign God. You're the best thing that man would ever understand. You're the best thing for man, whether he understands or not. Thank you for loving us in the manner in which you do and teaching us what agape love is all about. Love to the highest degree. Love in spite of the condition. Love in spite of our behavior. Love that you're willing to die for, that we may have a right to the tree of life. That's a real love, not a superficial love, not an erotic love, not a storge love, not a phileo love. It's agape love, love to the highest degree. That's the divine love God has for his children. And so we're just so thankful, Father, for that. We're thankful for Jesus, for you allowing him to come in the incarnated sin and state Mary's baby, infused by the Holy Spirit. Man who never sinned took on the sin of the world, all the sin in the world, and gave us a right to be able to come home with you, to receive that mansion, robe and crown, to be able to wear that crown that we just so humbly sang about. Father, we thank you. We're coming to you tonight with regards to my brother Chauncey Lyles. Lyles family has lost a dear loved one. I just saw it a few minutes ago on Facebook. Chauncey's younger brother, I believe it was. And don't know the details, but passed away. We're praying for his mother, praying for his father, praying for his family, his wife Sophia, and Chauncey himself, and all the relatives of the Lyle family, as well as friends that his life has touched. That's a big, loving family. I ask you to bless them and keep them and strengthen them in ways they really stand in need of. That this will not be an opportunity for Satan to get busy, but an opportunity for them to get strong, to continue to praise and lift up honored prayer. So we ask you to continue to be with them and strengthen them during this time. Not only are we praying for Chauncey, we're praying for our sister Rosalyn Redmond, who's asking for prayer. Always tells us to keep her in prayer, health, and just for vitality. I ask you to continue to be with her, strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. Love her so very much for supporting this ministry and being with us on Sundays and other days as well. Prayer for Diane Hughes. I ask you to be with Diane. Bless her in a way she stands in need of. And as she continues to strengthen her in a very powerful way, my good friend, childhood friend, Daniel Zapata Sr., because there's also Daniel Zapata Jr., as she be with him and Jody, childhood sweethearts, all the way back to elementary school, finally got married. And ask you to bless them and keep them. It was just so great to see them in October, and I pray that I get a chance to see them again when we're back in town. Father, I ask you to bless him and keep him, be with his family. And ask you to continue to strengthen them in ways you know they really stand in need of. Praying for Lionel Smith. See him this evening with his mother. Looks like his mother had a birthday yesterday. I thought I saw that on Facebook. I didn't know that when I saw him yesterday, but wish her a happy birthday when it was still yesterday. Praying for his father, sister, sisters, Idel himself, and all the lives that they touch. Bless them and keep them and strengthen them in ways they stand in need of. Continue to pour blessings to them, Father, in ways you only really stand in need of. Father, we're just so thankful for what you do and what, who you are. Always praying for my wife, as you bless her and keep her, as you continue to give her the ingenuity and give her the strength. Praying for her job situation, Father, for we know that according to this assignment, there's just a couple more weeks left towards the end of this month. So, Father, we're praying that you will continue to be with the journey for her as she continues to apply and interview for other positions. But we're just so thankful for what you're going to have for us, Father. And then my mother just reminds me that pray for my sister, Nisi, Denise Renee Brutus, praying for her other brother, Michael, Some people thought it was me, but I'm still here by God's grace and mercy. But she has another brother named Michael. So we're praying for him, praying for that family, for I believe he passed on the other side. So we're praying for my sister Lisi, for the family there, continue to bless them and keep them away as they stand in need of. Because when one's down, we're all down, and when one's up, we're all up. But Father, let us continue to be compassionate for one towards another. And we're just so thankful for the lesson that we're going to talk about today. We're asking you to continue to bless it in ways you know it readily stands in need of, and allow your Holy Spirit to blow over it. But we will continue to understand and pull the nutrients and protein from the Word. Praying for my mother, ask you to bless her and keep her in ways she stands in need of. Continue to strengthen her and give her the strength and the vitality to continue to do the wonderful works you have for her to do there in the Des Moines area. Excuse me. Pray for my brother Mo, my brother Damon, brother Tyrone and Darnell. And just praying for all of us. Also, don't want to be remiss, but we're praying for my wife told me that there was a death on the Blakemore side. And my sister-in-law Alice is going to be probably coming in town sometime this week. We're praying for that family as well. I don't know all of them, but I know some of them. And so we're just praying for the Blakemore family, which is related to the Pensons and the Yanceys and all the Jeffersons and all of them, the derivatives thereof. Praying for my wife and all of them who have known the deceased. I'm asking you to continue to bless and keep them. We also want to say thank you, Lord, for restoring the health of Mom Rennie, Mom Maureen Hambrick, Rhonda and Christine's mother. I ask you to continue to bless her and keep her the way she stands in need of, and continue to restore her back to regular portion of health and strength. Father, we're just praying. We're thankful that she's able to make it home, that she's able to come out of the situation. The last time I saw her, she was hooked up, laid flat in the hospital. We were to pray with them and just to see the power of you, Father, as you do what you do. And got her restored, was able to pull her off the ventilator. And she, her lungs worked fine, and she's now, I got just to hear her talking, and now to find out that she is at home, Father. So we ask you to allow her body to rest as it continues to strengthen itself. So we're just praying for all the sick and the afflicted everywhere, those that don't even understand, or those that were like me, who were walking time bombs, didn't even know that you was ill, and you're still pressing on. Thank you for duct taping us together and keeping us going. But Father, help us to have the awareness to make better decisions. Father, we ask you to correct us from our wrong bills if we're weak, strengthen us when we're torn down. And we want to pray for all those that are in China, that have, whose families will have lost to the coronavirus, those throughout the world that have been touched, that it has traveled to, and even those here in the United States as well as Chicago. Praying for safety for that, for it looks like it's spreading like the plague. And we know that it doesn't take much to set system of man down, even though we think we're strong and more mighty than we really are. Father, we love you. We adore you. And this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. It's communion time. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. cherish the rugged cross, where my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling up to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross. We find in Acts 20:7, it was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We find that the Apostle Paul picked up his pen and continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse number 23. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he had supped, said that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weakly among you, many that sleep." Let's give thanks for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray that we take it with clean hands and a pure heart. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Christ Jesus' name, let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take up the bread and the wine. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Thank you, Jesus. So I'll cherish the rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Let's sing one more song. And then if you have a copy of God's manuscript, if you will graciously turn with me to Mark chapter 6, and we'll be looking at the verses 30 through 44. Last week we talked about walking on water. This week, we're going to talk about the feeding of the 5,000. I'll fly away. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I will fly away. I'm going to a home on God's celestial shore. will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Oh, Gloria, I will fly away. In the morning and when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I will fly away, fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Oh, Gloria, I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. Don't you know that I will fly away? Oh, Gloria, I will fly away in the morning and when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I will fly away. When you think about feeding and the enormous number that's being fed here, some 5,000. I sat back and think about many food giveaways I have been a part of. But I was at the Maple Avenue Church of Christ, and we would feed the community, and they would come by droves and sign in by families. My mother had the same thing down in Des Moines where during the holidays they come by and get turkeys and get food. And it's a godly thing to be able to feed people. But to see it done in grand fashion is huge. Good to see you, Brother Lord Williams. It requires much food. A lot of times it requires a lot of preparation and a lot of utility, of facility, of men and women and bodies, volunteers, and those that in order to get the job done so nobody gets missed. And when you think of the compassion of a mother feeding a baby, and when you think about when that child is born, God has placed in that mother everything that that child needs for nourishment and is left in the arms of the female, of the mother, that the baby, before being weaned onto the bottle, can receive the nourishment that it needs to continue to grow. The purpose of feeding is for growth and for you to be able to be nourished, to be able to continue on. Some of us are so focused on diets nowadays because we have been overly nourished, and then somebody. In some areas of our lives. I had a great discussion about that today with a brother. That there's times when we live to eat, but now we need to eat to live. We need to monitor what it is that we eat. Monitor what it is that we are intake so that our body's not being thrown out of balance. And it will continue to grow. We will continue to grow, continue to be able to be utilized by the Lord in manners in which He needs for us to be. Amen, somebody. But when you think about 5,000 eating, there must be a wealth of gathering. There must be an enormous reservoir a storage in order for that to take place. But the blessing in this lesson is that God is taking a physical position to teach a spiritual message. And if we can understand what it means to be hungry physically, to be exhausted physically, then we can understand somewhat, recognize what it may be to be physically full, but spiritually exhausted. Well, there needs to be two types of feelings. You need to be physically fed, but more so, you must be spiritually fed. Because if you have not been spiritually fed by God's word, you are starving. You are malnutritious. I don't care how much you weigh. You are anorexic and bulimic spiritually when it comes to God's word. So we need to make sure that God feeds us and that we eat well. God will do his part. He has done his part by giving us the word of God. So no longer does it have to be passed down by generation to generation verbally. You have the word of God and you can take it in whatever language you need to and read it as it's being translated so that you will understand God's perspective, God's position, and you can find yourself in God's one church that he establishes as he speaks about from Matthew 16:18. If you're not in the one church, you're outside of salvation. I don't care how loud you jump. I don't care how loud you yell, how high you jump, what you beat on or what you're getting beat in. I want you to understand God has one ark. And the church, like in the days of Noah, is the holding pattern for those dealing with the storm. Amen, somebody. Your salvation is in the church that Jesus built. Let us take a look at the text here in Matthew 6:30-44. What I want you to see in this lesson today, I would like for you to either take notes or pull out some crayons or markers, whatever you need to do, pencils, or people ain't using pencils too much because they're pencil sharpening, but get you something to write down on. For you need to see three main points in this lesson today. You need to recognize the compassion of Jesus, not only in this lesson, but in our lives even today. You need to recognize the consideration of Jesus. God analyzes and considering. And you need to hear the command of Jesus. And if you miss the consideration, the compassion, or the command of Jesus, you miss the whole lesson. But if you get just those three things, that will be enough for you to chew on for the rest of the night. To help you in your daily walk. The devil, you are alive. I'm going to deliver this message today. The Bible says in Mark 6, beginning in verse 30. Thank you, Brother Lloyd. I'm going to ask you guys if you would share the video, we'd definitely appreciate it. I'm reading from the Holman's Christian Standard Bible. You read from your translation. The Bible says, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus. And they reported to him that all that they had done and that they had taught. Sounded like a pretty good scenario. You're coming back with a report based off of the work that you've done. And that's a good lesson for us as students, those that have been taught by teachers, that you have a responsibility of what you're teaching to make sure that the reputation of your teacher is on the line. So you need to confer back with them to make sure that you're checking in and everything is copacetic. Check with the Word of God and make sure that what you're learning and what you're presenting, that you will be held accountable for what you're saying. They gathered around Jesus. They reported to him. See, some of us don't want to tell anything about what we're doing. We don't want investigation. We don't want no one to analyze what we're doing. Let me tell you, truth is open to investigation. It's open to be challenged. What you got to hide? They were open right here. They gathered around and reported to him all that they had done. Do you talk to God about what you do on a daily basis? Do you tell him how you spent your money? Do you tell him you ask for his guidance in various areas? Or is it mine, all mine? Until I get broke, then Lord, I need more. Everything you do, because the strength you have, God's given to you. And matter of fact, what you have, God allowed you to have. And if he wants to put together a traumatic whirlwind, you may not have that. If he wants to take it from you and give it to somebody else, he'll bless somebody else because you're not being a good steward of what you have. So they gathered around, the disciples gathered around you. These apostles, and they reported to him all they had done and all they had taught, making sure the teaching was in line with what Jesus was teaching them. And Jesus said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. Why do they need rest? Because they're tired. Teaching can tire you out. Dealing with folks can tire you out. Rest is important. I'm learning that more and more every day of my life. That there's a pause for a reason. Jesus says, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. You're doing a great work, but you need rest too. Sometimes you need to get away from the crowd so you can rest. Come to a quiet place, to a remote place, where many people are coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. You ever been so busy that you forgot to eat? You've been moving around so much that now all of a sudden you look up and you haven't had anything in a while. But what I like here is the first point of consideration. Jesus could be a hard taskmaster. Say, just keep hitting it, still more. No, he says, take a break. Recharge your battery. Rethink what you did. Give yourself a time to reload yourself and get yourself back to a state of balance. He realizes that you're exhausted. And exhaustion ain't good for anybody. So you have to balance exhaustion with rest. So it's Jesus himself who leads them. Come on now. He leads them to this remote place and says, rest for a little while. God is concerned about what you do. God is concerned about how you portray and represent Him, what you teach. But God is concerned with your level of rest. And if you don't have rest, you're going to be tired out. Or if you say tuckered out, you are going to be worn out. And you want to make sure you rest so you don't fall out. So we serve a God that analyzes the situation and understands teaching, understands the massive work that must be done of dealing with people who walk amongst people. And He says, you need some quiet time to re-energize, to regroup, to rest. So Jesus says, come away by yourselves to a remote place to rest for a little while. He shows them, takes them, leads them to a place away from the crowd, that they may be able to get some rest. See, sometimes just laying down ain't getting no rest. You got all this noise around you, all the hustle and bustles going around. Sometimes you have to get away. Sometimes move out of the environment to get the rest you need. Because of what he says many people are coming and going. And they didn't have enough time to eat. They didn't have time to eat. Can you imagine the conversation that's going on? And now people are hungry. Look at verse 32. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them. You're trying to get away. Jesus has already showed you where it's going to be. And you're trying to pull away so you can get a little rest and get recharged so you can get back in the game. God is so concerned and so considerate about your balance of rest and work ethic that He wants you to know you're at optimum when you're well rested. And you're not working at peak when you're exhausted. Crowd don't want you to get away. They saw you leaving. They recognized who you were. So people ran there by land and all the towns and arrived ahead of them. They saw where you were going. So they ran over there. Good thing is that people want to be around you. Bad thing is that you'll never get recharged, get re-energized. You won't get the rest. Jesus is concerned about that. If you were a workaholic like I am, you got to unwork and put some downtime in so that your work will be at optimum speed. People will always keep you in a hustle and bustle. That's Jesus' consideration. Now let's take a look at His compassion. And I ask you today, as we saw in the text last Sunday, what do you think about Jesus? He's showing you who He is, but what do you think about Him? Let's look at His compassion. Verse 32, but many saw them leaving and recognized them. People ran by land from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. So as He stepped ashore, He saw a huge crowd and had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Jesus is filled with compassion, filled with love, filled with not just consideration, but with the motive and the motivation to want to do something about it. Why? Because he saw those that were so motivated that they would run ahead. They were like sheep without a shepherd. When he moved, they was lost. They did not want to be detached from Jesus. They wanted to be around him, his teaching, his love. And people know love. They know real love. A child knows when it's loved and when it's not. Filled with compassion, he's sympathetic. Filled with compassion, Jesus is lenient. Filled with compassion, he's kind-hearted. Oh, some people may say, you know, soft. You know, you say, first, oh, so they just gonna always give it. God loves you so much that his heart is so tender that he's motivated to help you. We get the purple, the purple cross or the purple medal to someone that is a great soldier or a great humanitarian. But when you give your life to Jesus, who's the greatest humanitarian that has ever been, Jesus is merciful. He's benevolent. He's warm-hearted. He's filled with charitability. Not for himself, but for them, for those that want to be with him, those that cannot exist without him because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And if you understand the agricultural understanding of what a sheep is an animal that we can get wool from, that we can get food from. But a sheep is also unbalanced, easily scared, sometimes looked at as dumb. They can be scared and toppled over, they can knock over. But the shepherd, sheep, knows the shepherd's voice. So when the shepherd detaches, the sheep runs because they want to be with him. Jesus has so much compassion, but what about you? Are you a sheep? How much do you read? How much do you study? How much time do you put in loving people and doing it from the heart of God? How much time do you allow God in your 24 hours to use you as a conduit so that he could share his love with other people? Or are you me, myself, and I? And I'll get to you, Jesus, on Sunday. I'm here to tell you, if you don't have a heart that God is penetrating, then God can't use you in a personal way. Jesus has compassion for those that are following him. He calls them sheep, an endearing statement, an animal that's in need of a shepherd. The shepherd takes his rod and the staff and lifts the sheep over difficult times, over difficult edges, right, can help them to pull them, separate them. A sheep, a shepherd, knows the sheep by name. So much love so much time. He becomes, Jesus personalizes the relationship with his sheep that he knows them by name. Does God know your name? Is your name written today in the Lamb's Book of Life? If life ended tonight, would heaven be your home? Or are you still seeking salvation? Well, if you're seeking salvation, I'm here to tell you, you can find it today. Surrender your heart to Jesus. Allow God to lead you, and he will place you. Obey his very command. And it's through the obedience of the command of Jesus, not your own opinion, that you will find direction, you will find motivation, and you will find God's positioning in your life. We saw the consideration, we saw the compassion. Let's look at the command of Jesus. But before you can get to Jesus' command, you must see the disciples, the apostles, in much despair. What are you talking about, preacher? Let's keep reading. Verse 35, when it was already late, his disciples approached Jesus, approached him and said, "This place is a wilderness. There's nothing growing here. There's nothing to, no provisions here. This place is a wilderness. And it is already late." So let me show you the position of man, and I want you to show you the position of God. Man's despair will channel God's directive. If man follows God's directive, man's despair will dissolute. But if you don't follow God's order, your despair will become real. Their cry is, "Jesus, it's late. We've been toiling for a while. And we're in a place where there's no provision. When all you see is negative, 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 and you don't see the provider of God in front of you, you are in a mental state of despair. It's late. We've been working all day, teaching all day. The folks are hungry. We're in a place of wilderness where there's no provision and nothing to get, nobody went. So my suggestion to you is just send them away hungry." That's how man looks at things. They have the realization there is no food. So send them back home where they can eat. Tell them to go away hungry, Jesus. That's what Jesus' apostles or disciples said. But let's take a look at the directive of the Savior. God is always optimistic when man is pessimistic. When you see nowhere out, that's where God really steps in and shows out. Look at the directive here. He literally tells them, "You do a search throughout the crowd of 5,000 and see what food you can come up with." Notice what they say. It's late. This place is a wilderness. It's already late. So send them away so they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Now, you don't even know what provisions they have on them. But they need to go and get their, they need to go and fill their own bellies. Jesus flips the script. You say send them away hungry. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Now, this hits us or shoots us execution style between the eyes. You ever been in a situation where you had nothing? Or you look like you have nothing? And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. God says, you still have something that you can do to provide them with the food. Look at how they're missing it. They said to Jesus, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Jesus said, well, how many loaves do you have? Go look. See, you just want to spend some money. But you ain't looking to see what you have with you. Is there anything around? You go search. You go look. Investigate and bring me the information. And when they found out what they had, they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What does 5 small loaves of bread and 2 little fish going to do for 5,000? That's their position. That's their mindset. That's the kaleidoscope that they start, disciples can see through. But the problem is they're looking at it through their lens. And they're leaving Jesus out. And that's our problem, folks. That's our problem, church. That's our problem, friends and neighbors, is all we see is what we have in front of us. We don't see what God can do with what we have in front of us. And when you leave God out, you leave out the very resource that you need to provide abundance. Come on now. You don't like being poor, but you rather have a mentality of poor. If you saw through God's eyesight, you would have more than you would ever imagine. Give what you have to Jesus and watch Jesus do a miraculous thing in your life. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at how God does this thing. All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 39, Jesus instructs them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and ranks of 50s. Remember, he had divided them and put people over them so they would have folks that would feed them. So you're responsible for 50, you're responsible for 100. There's a tier policy going on here, a protocol. And he had them grouped that way. Jesus says, have them sit down in their groups. You want to send them away hungry? You got 2 loaves, you got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Tell them to sit down in groups on the green grass. Now, if they were cattle, they could graze on green grass. But because they're human, they cannot process green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and 50s. Then he took the 5 loaves and the two fish and looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. Don't miss your blessing. Did you miss that? What Jesus did, he took what they brought to him. He gave thanks to his Father for what he had. And he gave thanks for the food they are about to receive, because he knew when he gave it to his Father was going to blow it up. Because we serve a God that does not want us to be without. We serve a God that wants us to have more than we would ever know. That's why he sent Jesus. More than you could ever hold. More than you could ever eat. More than you could ever carry. We serve a God that wants you to live the abundant life without waste. So Jesus, if you don't learn nothing else in this lesson, take what you have and give it to Jesus. Allow Jesus to take what you have and give thanks to the Father. So we need to pray like the Lord. We need to praise like the Lord. We need to have the mentality that this is what I have, but God, I know if I put it in your hands, it will be more than enough. My hunger pains will go away. My bill problems will go away. My sickness may go away. My headaches may go away. My stress level will be minimized. Lord, if I put it in your hands, I know that something's going to happen. You got to have a faith like the grain of a mustard seed, that God will not let you down because you're his sheep and he's your shepherd. When David says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, that means I'm going to have everything that I need. And David, who is a king after a man after God's own heart, said, listen, Lord is my shepherd, I'm his sheep. Who's guiding you today? Are you running your own life? Are you guiding you, or have you allowed the Lord to take hold of the reins and run your life? To provide for you, put you in groups so that you will be protected and you will be cared for. Jesus prayed to his Father. When was the last time you talked to God? Five loaves and two fish. And I'm putting it here, Father, because I know in your hands it's more than enough to feed 5,000 plus. But they can't see it. And I want to show the world who you are, that their belief will be better and stronger and more fortified and more pillarized. Jesus gives thanks to the Father for the food he's about to receive. Too many times we just start eating and we ain't even said thank you, Jesus. I sometimes say we need to just choke on that chicken bone for a second until we learn to give God thanks, because God provided, and we don't even know. We are so arrogant, and we won't even say thank you, Lord. If God don't give you nothing but a bag of sunflower seeds, you need to say thank you, Jesus. Because you could be exiled on a desert island somewhere with very few provisions. But God made sure you have what you need. Look what he does. He took the five loaves, two fish. He looked up to heaven. There's something about looking to heaven. There's something about looking up to heaven that should be the posture of God's children. You should always look for your reception from him, like a mother bird feeding a baby bird, a chicklet. It always comes from above. and you can receive those blessings. Look at there, he blessed, and he broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. See, when you took what little you had and put it in the big hands of God, God will magnify your minimum so you will have maximum. He kept giving to the disciples to set forth before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. Everyone ate, and all was filled. That's past tense. That's not, okay, I got something to eat. They were full. They were filled. Nobody was left out. 5,000 people ate. But that's not the miracle. Look at what God will do. Then, verse number 43, the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. See, what God will do is not only fill everybody, but he will use the experience to teach those that doubted a lesson about what he is and what he can do. The same people that were passing out and go back and get the abundance because it was too much for the people. And they had 12 basketfuls of bread and fish pieces. If you give God thanks, God can't wait to give you the abundance. Now, those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. I like that text. I like that text because these were just men. But if you really take a look at the situation, if the man had a wife and two children, there would have been 20,000 people here. But the man was the only one counted in the text, in that community at that time. So, Jesus fed far more than 5,000. He fed 5,000 households because the men were accounted for. But after everybody ate, from the blessings of two fish and five loaves, everyone was filled. And the disciples, which were 12, come on now, look at what God will do. And the disciples, which were 12, picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Every last one of them could no longer doubt the miracle of Jesus, could no longer question the power of God, for they knew they were in a state with no provision, where it was wilderness. And yet they saw what Jesus did when he said, seek them. You feed them. I ain't got nothing. Give me what you have. Then God will give back to you so that you can provide for others. Then you will take the abundance that you have to bring back. Why? So that you can see and never doubt God again. Any situation that you have. Oh, folks, I want you to know we serve a good God. We serve a God that loves us. We serve a God that blesses us. We serve a God that wants us to have the abundant living. And we serve a God that wants us to have more than we ever provide to him. Bring God what you have and watch God do what he will do. Folks, do you recognize that this is no more than investment banking? You put your deposit in, and when God uses his accumulated interest, you come out with more than you put in. you're full. Well, no one else that day complained about not having that meat. Over 5,000 men, probably 20,000 people or more, filled that day. But the lesson was for the feeding of the 5,000. But the lesson really was for the disciples that doubted because they could only see what they could see. So what is this lesson about? This lesson is about what is your vision? How do you see Jesus? When you don't see Jesus as your provider, then you don't see Jesus at all. But when God has to show you who he is, there are going to be words in your mouth that will be able to combat the outcome of what he's going to do. Notice the text no longer says anything about what they have to say. Jesus shut them up. And sometimes God has to literally shut you up so he can show you who he is and what he can do. If you're here today, and you've been running your mouth, but you ain't been running your heart, you need to shut up and let God show out. God wants to bless through you. But as long as you keep using pessimistic verbiage, God cannot do through you what he needs to do through you. You can't get sad folk to do what only glad folk will be able to do. So if you keep looking up, when you keep expecting your blessings, when you keep asking God to fill your cup, as your cup gets empty, God is pouring more in. Blessings come every day. His compassions are new every day. Don't cut off your blessings, because your blessings are full of grace and mercy. And if God becomes judgmental, and he no longer becomes merciful, prayer may not even be able to help you at this time. Hope, trust, and praise this lesson will benefit you, that you will see God from another perspective, that you will see your situation today. What are you asking for? Do you have bills that have came in and you don't know where to go? Go to God. Have you went to the doctor and you got a report, or you went and you're feeling aches and pains, you don't know where to go? Go to God. But what you first must do is look up to heaven. For what come of my help? For my help cometh from the Lord. Notice Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. You may not see it, but the disciples were weak, not physically, but mentally, because they could not see a way out when the way out was right in front of them. Many times we can't see which way we're going. There's a very powerful scene in the Harriet Tubman movie. My wife is had it up here, and I watched it a couple times, and both times I get captivated. Because after she goes and she comes back to take the first group of people with her, they run, and they're heading towards danger, and she says, no, we're going another way. And in front of them is nothing but water. There's nothing but water. And like Moses, they started to turn back, they don't know what to do, murmuring Israelites. She walks through the water because the pastor told her, fear is your enemy. And as the water got close to her neck, she stopped before taking the next step, and she prayed to God in the water. Lord, help me through this. And as God continued, she continued to walk. She got until she got to the other side, and others believed, and they came into the water and made it to the other side. Everyone, including a mother carrying a baby, made it to the other side because of her faith. What am I saying? Your faith can draw or can push people away. Your vision of Jesus can either bring people to God or run them away. How do you view the Lord? What is your relationship to Him? And do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? If you trust Him, you won't let fear keep you from doing what He asks, what He commands you to do. You won't worry about what you don't have. You will be obedient to what God has called you to do. When you love as God wants you to love, when you give as God wants you to give, when you help as God wants you to help, when you extend your arms open as God wants you to do, then people will start to follow, because they want to know the God that you know. But if the God you know is one of doubt, in your mind, you can't solidify them in their mind. Good to see you, Mark Miles, Terry Anderson. Glad to have you guys with us this evening. My sister Lois, good to have you with us. You guys can share the video. We'll definitely appreciate it. But it's decision time now. And I ask if you have a prayer request, you can either type it in or I ask you to call in. You call in right now at 516-666-9969. 516-666-9969. And we can talk about it. We'll take your prayer request. We'll take your position. We'd love to talk to you right now online. 519-666-9969. I typed it into the comments so you can see it there and call me. Hope, trust, and pray that you understand that God is waiting to help you. But it's until you have the mindset that God can provide for you, even in your mental state of despair. See, the disciples, the apostles, were in despair because all they saw was wilderness. All they saw was hungry people. All they saw was a massive crowd. All they saw was unprovision. And they took their eyes off of Jesus, who is more than all of that. When Jesus looked to His Father, looked up to heaven, there should be no doubt for any child who calls himself a child of God that we don't look to heaven for what's coming to our help, for our help must come from the Lord. Feed me, Jesus. And thank you for life. If God wakes you tomorrow, will you work for Him? If you're not willing to work for Him, you're not willing to be, then He shouldn't even wake you. That's my perception. But we serve a God that's long-suffering with us and continues to help us in our times of despair. God has a five-step plan for helping all mankind. It comes by hearing His word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You must believe His word. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's rewarded them to diligently seek Him. You must repent. Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, you all likewise perish. That means turn to God. Stop getting dizzy doing 360s from God. Turn to God. Follow God. You must confess the sweetest name that ever roll off a mortal's tongue. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven, and he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Covered up in water. And I'm here to tell you that the proper teaching must precede your baptism. If you have anything else tied to your name but Christian, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sin. Because Jesus creates Christians and nothing else. This word is the seed planted that does not come up hybrid. It does not come up denominational. It comes up pure, untainted, and pure, true. If you carry anything beside Christian, you need to reconsider your position. I hope, trust, and pray today that God has blessed you. That the word that was presented, you've been able to extract some protein from the word. Have taken some notes so that you too could go back and look through, regurgitate, meditate, and see about how God meets you in 2020. And you're asking him to carry you into 2021. If your purpose is not asking God to be better tomorrow than it is today, you're living beneath your privileges and you're wasting God's breath. What will you do? We'll send a song to encourage you. But hopefully, you will keep your mind on Jesus. All night and all day, I know the angels watches over me, my Lord. And all night and all day, I know the angel is watching over me. They keep watching over me all night. All day, I know the angel watches over me, my Lord. And all night, all day, I know the angel watches over me. Said I went to the church house where I used to pray. I know the angel watches over me, my Lord. And my soul got happy and I stayed all day. I know the angel, he is watching over me. He keep watching over me all night, all day, all day. I know the angel watches over me, my Lord. And all night and all day, I know the angel watches over me. If this lesson has helped you, we ask that you give as God would have for you to give. 1 Corinthians 16. Give not sparingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful gift. We have, this ministry is helping you. Allow it to help others by helping us to expand with some of the costs of the ministry. We pray that we've touched your heart and that you will make a donation of a dollar or more, of any amount. We're so thankful. We have a Cash App, $GCLC1. We have a PayPal account. We have to mail it in, Western Union. We go to our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. Under the More tab on the donation, you can make a tithe offering or a donation or a love offering of any amount. but allow the message to go forth. Help someone as God helps you. You can't be God-given. Remember, your minimum, no matter what it is, will become maximum in the hands of the Lord. Have a great evening. Do something for somebody that the camera paid you for. Give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I hope to see some of you in 2 weeks. Morning service at Far West Church of Christ, 4120 West Roosevelt Road. We will be there for their March Madness program at 10 o'clock in the morning. So clear your calendar and come by and join us in 2 weeks on the 1st of March. First Sunday in March, 4130 South Roosevelt Road, the Far West Church of Christ. Can't miss it. And service is at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we look forward to have you there with March for the March Madness portion. Have a great day. God bless you in the name of the Lord. And again, if you play this back, share the video. We definitely appreciate it. And know that you're blessing people in Cyprus, in Norway, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, as well as the continental United States. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Have a great evening. Good night. Oh, there we go. How about